Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. You can hear the program live each Saturday morning at 10:30, and there are many more interviews archived from our Faith Radio programs available online at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry.
It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and as always, we're delighted that you've joined us.
It is already the third weekend of October.
Wow.
Here's what I learned preparing for the show. This is the weekend when we celebrate Sweetest Day.
Is that holiday celebrated in the Weigel home?
Well, no, because like I said, this is the first time hearing of it. Yeah, preparing for this show over the last couple of days. And for those of us who do not know what Sweetest Day is, it was created in Cleveland, Ohio by candy maker and philanthropist Herbert Birch Kingston.
Hmm.
And the very first Sweetest Day was on October 15th, 1921. Kingston created this day to do something nice for those who were less fortunate. Kingston and the committee distributed more than 20,000 boxes of small gifts, candy, and that type of thing, to newsboys, orphans, old folks, quote-unquote, and the poor in Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow, yeah. That's really interesting, because today, the reason I knew about this holiday is that I've heard of Sweetest Day. Mm-hmm. I have a sister-in-law who has a birthday around that weekend all the time.
Right.
And so she's always talking about, hey, my birthday's on Sweetest Day. My nail person is getting married on...
Mine too.
Your nail person too. Is getting married on Sweetest Day this year.
Oh, wow.
And she didn't realize that this is the same mm-hmm. day that her wedding was on. So when she found out what it was all about, and she realized that today we do it by giving small presents to others.
Right.
And we want to show them that they're loved and cared about. What I said to her is, go for the big presents on
right.
your wedding day.
Yeah.
Don't go for the small ones. People usually give like a card or
right.
candies or flowers. And I don't know how many people do it. If you go to Twitter and you put the hashtag mm-hmm. in National Sweetest Day, there's going to be all kinds of postings on that for Sweetest Day.
Well, it's funny that we opened the show up with a conversation about Sweetest Day, because the topic today is diametrically opposed, 180 degrees different from something as nice as Sweetest Day. A few weeks ago, you and I were talking,
yep.
and I'd stumbled across during an internet search based on how I was seeing some people interact and being treated.
And just life in general.
Right.
Yeah.
I found the term gaslighting. So we will discuss that today.
Yeah. I remember you texted me, said, are you familiar with this term?
Right. Yeah.
And I had heard this term in the kind of popular literature
mm-hmm.
and knew it was related to a relationship issue. But this is going to be an interesting show if people haven't heard of that term before. Let me give a little background. It comes from a very well-known play from the 1930s
mm-hmm.
called Gaslight. And the plot concerns a husband who attempts to drive his wife crazy, and he's trying to manipulate all these things in her environment. What happens in the play is that gas was the energy behind lighting back then,
right.
in the 1938 when this play was started. What he does is he dims the light in the house, and then she notices and comments on it, and he's going, oh, they're not being dimmed.
Well, he does it incrementally. Each night they sit down for dinner and the light is just a little bit dimmer than it was the night before.
And she notices it and comments
right.
on
mm-hmm.
it. And then the idea is that he's telling her, that's not right, or you're mistaken, or
yeah.
you're not remembering right. What he's doing is he's gaslighting her. That's where the term comes from the play Gaslight. And what that means is it's a form of emotional abuse. This is what we're talking about. And what it does is it causes the person who's being gaslighted to question their own feelings, their instincts about things, really their sanity. What it does is it gives the abusive partner a lot of power and a lot of control. And we know that abuse is about power and control.
Definitely.
That's what's at the root of it.
Hmm.
It's when you take information and you twist it, you spin it, you admit things, and you're trying to tell the person that they're false in their reality. That's the key. I read a bunch of stuff about this, and some people think the term is too widely used and that it should be for when somebody is presenting false information and trying to make the person believe that. It plays a number on the person's memory and their perception and their sanity. And so when people receive criticism or they're told, that's not right, or what are you thinking, or you've got that wrong, they're being gaslighted.
And it makes you wonder how often this happens, because how many times have you sat and thought, I know I did not say that. They have to be wrong. But did I say that?
Yeah.
Did I say it that way, or did I say it at all? Am I crazy?
Yeah. Well, so I don't usually go to Wikipedia. I love their definition. It says gaslighting is a form of psychological abuse, which is what we've been talking about, in which false information is presented with the intent of making a person doubt his or her memory, perceptions, and sanity. It may simply be the denial by an abuser that previous abuse incidents ever occurred. Or it could be the staging of bizarre events by the abuser with the intention of trying to disorient that victim, which is what happened in that play.
It's so unfortunate to be on the receiving end of the gaslighting technique. Yes.
Can you imagine? So once an abusive partner has broken down the person's ability to trust their own perceptions, imagine what that would feel like. You can't trust that what you're feeling or you're seeing or you're thinking is true. The victim then is more likely to stay in that abusive relationship. It's done through manipulation. Here's what one woman said. For almost my entire life, I felt as though I couldn't trust my own memory. I would think to myself, am I making this up? Am I creating this hurt? Am I fabricating this anger? Yeah. Maybe I'm too sensitive.
And that's what the abuser wants this person
to
think.
Ugh. Exactly.
From what I can tell from gaslighting, it happens gradually. And it's like mind control, in which you're playing with the person's sense of reality, like you said a minute ago, with the goal of controlling them.
Right. And that's key.
And then over time, the person becomes confused, anxious, and depressed even.
Yeah. Because the person is so self-doubting, then they become very dependent. Think about it. If you can't trust yourself and you're thinking, my perceptions must not be right, then you get real dependent on somebody. A gaslighter spins their negative, harmful, destructive words and acts so that everything acts in their own favor, and they're constantly pointing the finger at someone. This is where you start going, I must be paranoid.
Right.
Maybe I'm too sensitive. Maybe I'm mentally unstable. I'm silly, I'm feeling unhinged, and all these sensations come into your mind that cause you to doubt yourself.
It just makes you feel uncomfortable talking about this.
I know. But we really want to do this because you might be in this type of relationship, or you might know somebody who is in this type of relationship. And in a little bit, we're going to help you recognize the signs of this. But right now, let's give a few more examples about what it would look like.
Let's try this one. A wife witnesses her husband cheating on her, but then he starts an ongoing campaign to make her believe that this event was false and that her perception of reality is incorrect. No, you're crazy, is what he says.
Yeah.
When she insists that she saw what she saw, and he retorts with, why are you being so emotional?
Yeah, I think I've seen that couple in therapy, actually.
Well, I bet.
Here's another one. We just got a minute to go. We'll just give a couple examples and then go to the break. A boyfriend and girlfriend are having an intense argument when he hits her repeatedly. Several days later, she calls the police, but there's no proof. He insists to her, you're delusional, and he says that to the police. When she confronts him about this in private, he insists that she's imagining it and repeatedly calls her crazy for recalling the event. So what happens is she begins to doubt her own memory. Here's another one. Your boss backed you up on a project when you met privately in his office. You went full steam ahead in the project. But at a large gathering of staff, including your staff, he suddenly changes his tune and publicly criticizes your poor judgment. When you tell him your concerns and how this is going to affect your authority and the project, he tells you that the project was ill-conceived and that you'll have to be more careful in the future. And then you begin to question your own competence.
Wow. Of all of the topics we've tackled on this program, this is a very dirty type technique to use.
Well, it's
someone.
Awful because it's manipulative and it's controlling. But part of what we want to do is we want to minister to you in part, help you recognize when you might be in an abusive relationship. And if you know someone, especially who might be in this relationship, so you can get them some help.
Right. The topic is gaslighting. It's emotional abuse. And we're talking about that today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. After the break, we'll give you specific signs that gaslighting may be going on in a relationship. Stay with us.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Being a generous person can have big benefits for you. Giving your time or your money or even your talent to someone else can obviously help the receiver. But did you know that being generous can roll some positive benefits back on you? This is Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here to share some of the benefits of generosity. Lower blood pressure, reduced stress, a better mood, and even longer life have been identified as benefits of being generous. That's right, physical and mental improvements for you just because you choose to extend something to someone else. What can you give? Your time, your talent, your support, oh, and yes, your money. You see, hoarding money like Scrooge may seem good for your wallet, but it's not so great for your health. One recent study actually showed that stingy behavior increases stress. So take a minute and just ask, what do I have that I can share? Then be generous and see how good you feel when you share something you have with someone else.
To check out Dr. Linda's books on weight control, Lose It for Life, Press Pause Before You Eat, Breaking Free from Compulsive Overeating, and Raising Healthy Kids, go to drlindamental.com. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and on today's program, we're talking about gaslighting. And Dr. Linda, before the break, I was aghast that people actually do this to each other.
And it has nothing to do with stoves.
No, gas stoves, right?
Okay, good. Just want to make sure
we're on
the same page here with what we're talking about.
Well, gaslighting is a type of manipulative control.
It is.
That people use, and they're specific in the ways in which they do this. What should we learn to recognize when we see this?
Because this is a form of emotional abuse, there are a few ways this happens. We're going to go through signs in a minute, but we're going to just talk about the strategies that people use.
Right.
The first one is the person is very withholding. The abusive partner pretends not to understand or absolutely won't listen to you. So they'll say things like, you know what, I don't want to hear this again, which is dismissive of the person. Mm-hmm. Or they might say, oh, you're just trying to confuse me, denying that reality of what's going on.
There's a technique where the gaslighter can question the person's memory.
Mm-hmm. That's called countering. Hmm. And even when the victim remembers the event accurately, the gaslighter will say, you know what? You're totally wrong.
Right.
You never remember anything right. If you hear that, they're countering that thinking that you have that's your reality.
Wow.
There's another one called blocking, or what we might say diverting, where the abusive partner changes the subject and or questions the victim's thoughts. So they might say something like, oh, is that another one of your crazy ideas? You probably got that from Aunt Sally or your friend John or something.
Well, haven't you met Aunt Sally, though?
Yeah.
Come on.
She doesn't have crazy ideas. Or they'll just simply say to you, you're just imagining things. That's an effort to divert away from the topic.
Right. And the gaslighter will also trivialize what the victim is thinking.
And even feeling. You'll get things like, you're going to get angry over a little thing like that. What is wrong with you that that makes you angry? And the one that I've heard the most when I've seen people do this is, you're just too sensitive.
Right.
And then the last one is this whole forgetting or denial, where the abusive partner pretends to have forgotten what has occurred or will flat out deny things like promises that they might have made to the person. So they'll say things like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Or you just make stuff up.
That's the one that I remember seeing as a youngster.
You saw this with kids?
Even the kids would do this to each other.
You had kids say that to you, like on the playground
did it to
or
me,
something
right.
like that?
We're talking young. And that's why when I first started reading about gaslighting, I was like, wow, I remember us doing that to each other in second grade.
This is more common than people think it is. And I think as you're listening to this, you're starting to say, wait, I've heard people say that.
Right, yeah.
Or someone has said that to me. It has a tremendous effect on you if you're not strong in who you are. Let's go through a few of the signs.
Okay.
Should we do that? Let's think of this like I'm thinking about a relationship, whether it's my own or somebody else's, and we're thinking about it. And these would be the signs if you start to have these thoughts. One would be you're often left feeling confused and crazy. I think that's probably the most obvious sign. If someone keeps telling you you're crazy and they're twisting things around so it seems like you're being irrational and unreasonable, like we've been talking about, mm-hmm. that is a red flag, a more telltale sign that the person is gaslighting you.
When you see older couples do this type of thing to each other, would this contribute to things like dementia?
Dementia is based on the real neurobiological issue that you're having changes in the brain and you're mm-hmm. not remembering. It was a great question because it's psychological mind games. Mm. But think if someone was moving into that.
Right.
And then you were confusing them earlier on. I mean, it would make things really, really bad. If you feel confused a lot and you believe that you're losing it and yet you have no neurological indication that you're losing it, maybe we should make that qualification.
Right.
It's an ominous sign and a time to talk to somebody.
Well, someone would feel confused and possibly even crazy, but then they begin doubting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned this earlier in the program when someone says, oh, you're too emotional, you're overly sensitive, stop being like that.
Yeah, that's a favorite tactic. Mm-hmm. That's the one that can get people, because a lot of us question when something happens, am I too emotional? Am I really being too sensitive? And people who are gaslighters, they love that one, and they wind up with that one, and they say it over and over to the point where you start to think, I must be too sensitive.
Right. Now, you said this word a minute ago, insecure.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like someone with a strong constitution could look at a gaslighter and say, back off and leave me alone.
Yeah.
But that's hard to do. This can make someone feel insecure.
And especially where it's a gradual process. It happens over time. Every relationship that has gaslighting involved, the person feels deeply, deeply insecure.
Right.
They don't have the confidence. And that's one of the reasons why people don't ask for help a lot of time, is because they don't have the confidence to go to somebody and say, you know, I'm not sure this is right, because by the point that they're in this relationship for a long time, they don't have a strong sense of self, and they will give the power to the other person. There's a couples therapist whose name is Dr. Jeanette Raymond, and she wrote a book called Now You Want Me, Now You Don't. You love the title. The title would make me read that. She says that you're giving away your mind.
Right.
And the insecure gaslighter, here's what she says, attempts to feel secure by controlling his partner's perception of him or herself.
What a vicious circle.
Yeah.
Especially for the gaslightee.
You're
just trapped. Yeah, this person has degraded you to the point where now you don't even have the confidence to go get help.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
What a terrible place to be. What about folks who say, I'm sorry all the time? They're always apologizing.
That's part of the pattern. You're walking on eggshells around the person because of the way the person is treating you. The victim ends up apologizing because they always are feeling like they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
That's another red flag. Got to watch out for that one.
You talked about arguing, and some people say things like, you know, we just go around and around and around and we never get anywhere. How does that play
out? Now, it doesn't mean that every time you argue with someone who goes in circles that that's mm-hmm. a form of emotional abuse, but it can be. If your fights make your head spin because the really outlandish thing that the person is saying to you, and that they're constantly making you feel like it's simply your fault, it's a one-way street, they're never taking responsibility for things and trying to change the reality, then watch out for that one.
How does making excuses play into this?
Here's the problem when somebody has been emotionally abused. They begin to feel like they need to make excuses for that person around their family, around their friends, because they're trying to explain away this kind of crazy, erratic behavior that they're mm-hmm. seeing on a regular basis. Since that person is close to you, when you hear that a lot from somebody, you might start to think that person is in one of these kinds of emotionally abusive relationships.
Mm, wow. Does the one who's being gaslighted start to lie to avoid accusations and twisted talks?
Think about it. If you're the victim of emotional abuse,
okay,
and the person just keeps coming at you and coming at you and coming at you, as the victim, you get so tired of your version of events.
I see.
And being mixed up, and that he's telling you that your reality is warped and that you don't understand things, you don't remember things right. You begin to lie to the person in order to avoid confrontations. I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
It's not right. But this is what emotional abuse does to people when it's left untreated. The person begins to think, there's no way out of this.
Right.
I'm going to start lying to avoid confrontations.
What a mess when you see a couple like that.
I know.
A gaslighter.
I have seen those couples in therapy, and you're right. It's a mess.
A gaslighter and then a gaslightee who is lying to the gaslighter.
Yes, you got it.
Unpack that.
We just did.
Right. One of the most difficult signs in a relationship is when you begin to feel hopeless and depressed. And I feel that way just talking about
it. You do it. I think that's really good. But remember, when you're in the middle of some kind of abusive situation, you feel like there's not a lot of way out.
Right.
And you don't see, because you're so wounded and you've been so pushed down, that you do begin to think, well, how did this happen? Mm. You might have been thinking this was a good person, and now you're starting to feel sad, you're starting to feel depressed, mm-hmm. maybe empty. Because what happens is this process follows three stages where first there's this disbelief that it's happening, and then you try to defend yourself, and that doesn't work very well. And then you end up feeling depressed because it feels like a trap. The cycle goes round and round, the constant arguments, the, oh my gosh, here comes another confrontation, the depth of the insecurity you feel. You can imagine how this would lead a person to feel real depressed.
Well, the topic today is gaslighting. Now that you are aware of the signs, what can be done? More on that when we return on the Dr. Linda Mitchell Show. So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out the relationship doctor, Dr. Linda Mitchell, on myfaithradio.com.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're discussing the topic of gaslighting, which is a form of emotional abuse. Dr. Linda, kids do this to each other, mm-hmm. and we just heard a great example during the break.
Our producer was telling us a story of someone she knew as a child where people were teasing the child and telling the child that the color that the child saw was not the color. And they would try to convince her that her reality was wrong. Now, they were doing this. They thought it was funny. Mm-hmm. They were teasing. But you can imagine if nobody ever corrected that child, that child would begin to have such self-doubt and to think that there was something wrong with her. Even when we do this, we think it's funny and we think it's harmless. We really need to think about how this is affecting a person.
And if someone is mixed up in a relationship like this, what should they do?
Most of the time, it's gradual. It's a gradual process. You don't just see it right away when you're in the middle of it. This is going to take some professional help. Hmm. People have to get in with a Christian counselor or a therapist who can help them regain their sense of reality, regain their life again, to understand who they are. And the very first thing you have to do whenever you need help with something is to recognize that that is what's happening. Once you begin to see the pattern, and it may take someone else to point that pattern out to you and then get help to start breaking that cycle that you're in.
What about the option of completely getting away from that person that does that?
If it's a friend or it's somebody that you can get away from, that's probably a really good idea to minimize your contact. But not everyone can leave relationships. And I'm very aware of that. And when we're talking about abuse especially, it's a complicated thing. People that are outside of an abusive relationship often say, well, why don't they just leave? Why don't they just get out? I wouldn't put up with that. It's a whole lot more complicated when there are kids involved and finances and dependency because of the mind control that's been going on. The thing to remember if you're in that situation is that confrontation doesn't usually work. You don't get very far when you confront somebody who has that kind of manipulation and control. And what is worse is it feels like drama to the person. And a lot of times people with emotional abusive personalities love the drama. They love to keep it up and keep feeding it. In some ways, it's better to be non-responsive with that person and go, that's an interesting point of view, and try not to be real confrontational, and then take that to a Christian counselor or a therapist so that you can develop some kind of plan that is going to work with that person.
In any relationship, boundaries are vital. But how does this work with someone who is gaslighting you?
It really is all about standing for what you know to be true. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I just thought of is that sometimes it helps people to write things down. If you're constantly questioning the reality of an event that happened, get a journal, write it down, keep a record, and then go back to it. I do that when there's something that's been emotional or something that has been very difficult, maybe in a work setting or something. Hmm. I write it down right away so I remember it.
Yeah.
Boundaries, really, really important. But if you set a boundary, be prepared to get some pushback from that.
Right.
Because it's going to be hard.
As soon as an abusive person sees that they're being challenged,
yeah,
they'll become a little more abusive.
They escalate a lot of times. The issue is that you have to rebuild your confidence and you have to begin to repair your own relationship with yourself. And there is no way that we can talk about this without talking about the importance of the God relationship. God is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. What he says about you is true and not what other people say about you. Mm. I would say start reading the word to understand who you are in Christ and get that word in you. And that's going to be your reality. And then the word says a whole lot about how people are to treat one another. And if you look at your relationship and you say, that is not how I am being treated, and I'm going to compare that to what the Bible has to say, then that would be a good time to reach out to somebody and say, I need some help. I want to trust people. I know I can trust God. And this is what God is saying. It's so different than my experience.
It seems like that this type of situation in a relationship would erode trust completely.
It would. It does. And that's why it is so damaging. To get better, you have to get trust in yourself and then trust eventually with other people. And if that person who's in the relationship with you is absolutely unwilling, you may not be able to do that. But I'm going to take you back to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you that trust is important. It's important in every intimate relationship, including your relationship with God. And that has to be where you start to build the foundation. You have to start building that trust in the Lord, reading the word. A therapist can help you begin to trust your own thoughts and opinions, but you need to help yourself by renewing your mind in the Word of God. And all we can say to you as we come to a close with our time with you is that you can trust God. He is going to be true to you. And as you grow closer to Him and you listen to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, the Lord is going to help you with this. Your feelings are always valid with God. He hears them. He knows them. If you have any doubt about that, just go read the Psalms to see how David dealt with his feelings before the Lord. He put them out there, and God allowed him to do that and still loved him for who he was. God understands our feelings. He created them. He doesn't play with them, and he wants us to go to him as the one person who we can trust. If you've listened to this program today and you feel you or someone you know is in this type of relationship, we're asking you to go and get some help. You're not alone. You need someone you can trust to give you accurate feedback and help on what you can do. So we hope we've helped a little bit, and maybe you can help somebody after you've listened to this show. Well, that's all the time we have from today. Many thanks to our producer and engineer, Pam Miller, our social media director, Cody Gokenauer, and our post-producer, Chris Underation. And thanks, of course, to my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show always a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's always better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.